So it seems that we have seen a lot of these, you know, nostalgia-based reboots and films that are coming out at the moment. Why is the nostalgia aspect so appealing?
Appealing to audiences or appealing to the people that make these products?
Both, I guess. I didn't realise there was a difference.
I think there is a pretty significant difference. I guess I'll talk first about the cultural producers and their kind of motivations for this. I mean, there's a proliferation of content. There's a proliferation of content providers, and there's a proliferation of content platforms, right? So they're kind of more channels, more places to watch things and experience things. And so that kind of in some ways explains why there are so many reboots and reruns, but also why there are these kind of heavily nostalgic texts, because they have, in a highly competitive kind of media market, they have this benefit of recognition, even if it's misrecognition, and familiarity and positive associations, which will kind of therefore, I guess, hopefully encourage people to watch or listen to whatever's kind of being sold to them. But I also think that nostalgia is a tool that we all use to cope with insecurities, challenges, turmoil, kind of rapid change. And so rather than it being a retreat or an escape, as it's very often kind of portrayed, that we're kind of running away from the present and retreating, escaping into these imagined paths, I think in some ways it can be kind of an indicator of or tell us an awful lot about ourselves and our present, and how we often use these nostalgic texts to counter individual or social distress, or deal with rapid change, but also to perhaps build a sense of community and social intimacy with others. There's a kind of a collective nostalgia where we move from our individual memories or mis-memories, because nostalgia doesn't have to always be for something that we actually experienced, and I think that's something quite interesting about some of the texts lately. But it can be this way in which we build a sense of community and social intimacy by experiencing it with others.
And you mentioned as well there that there are, there is a lot of content for, the people who do make these texts to go off. Do you think that this is a sustainable way of creating media?
I think that it might be something that we can perhaps think of quite negatively, because we can think that in a way nothing new is being produced, because we keep kind of rehashing and reusing kind of old texts and old kind of moments from text. And of course, like a TV show like Stranger Things is a great example, but also Ready Player One, because they're constantly making cultural references to 1970s, 1980s. I don't think that it's something that kind of, I guess in some ways there might be something of a backlash or a part backlash against that, when kind of fans, consumers kind of really kind of crave something different than that. But it might also speak to deal with all of the world.
Danger in this sort of trend you mentioned being on the ability to create quote-unquote, as you said, new products?
I don't think that there's that so much a danger. I think there's a tendency for us always to kind of think negatively about the current cultural moment and to always kind of focus perhaps on, particularly when we're talking about pop culture, to focus on what we see are the kind of the negative trends, rather than to focus or to take a real interest in other aspects of pop culture that are perhaps more progressive or more exciting, more innovative. But I think there might be a few dangers around these about these kind of reboots and rehashes or kind of nostalgic, backward-looking text, and that might actually have to do with kind of the ownership over nostalgic memories that certain groups feel, and those can be kind of activated whenever we kind of revisit some of those kind of old memories, and this is particularly the case when we talk about 1970s and 1980s film and television, but also kind of 1980s gaming. It can be kind of a little bit toxic and a little bit exclusionary, as if those are my memories and not yours, and therefore in some ways they need to be enshrined, they can't be kind of changed. Or there's also a danger in presuming that one's individual memories and nostalgia is actually everyone's, and that ends up kind of perhaps favouring dominant social groups that kind of produce these texts and consume them, and very often in a Western context that means kind of white, male and heterosexual.
And so just before I do let you go, I mean, it seems that we are in the middle of a real phase of sort of, you know, creating content that does hark back to these eras. Have we ever seen a period, I guess, in pop culture where we were continuously looking back to the past for inspiration, or is this a relatively new trend?
I don't think it's a new trend, and I think that it might be something that we see periodically and in particular media at particular times. So if we think about 1990s horror, there was an awful lot of kind of looking back and homages to 1970s horror cinema and parodies of 1970s and 1980s horror cinema. And I think that we're very much just seeing that now in film, television and gaming, and I think often that has a lot to do with not just kind of a proliferation of content, but with perhaps with new groups in society kind of coming of age and kind of wanting to look back and kind of make their own memories, and even if they are kind of not memories that they experienced, but also when kind of groups age. And I think that we've got kind of a lot of Gen Xers in the last that are kind of moving into their late 30s, 40s, and into their late 50s, and there's a lot of revisiting of those of the text in the 80s and 90s that they loved. So we've got those reboots of The X-Files, just as we have shows like Stranger Things, and even a show like 13 Reasons Why, where there's a lot of kind of nostalgia for old media technologies, which is a really kind of fascinating thing. So there's a lot of, with Ready Player One, it's the soundtrack is going to be released on cassette tape. and just like 13 Reasons Why, quite strangely but quite fascinatingly, had kind of fetishized old media as well, and I think that's also interesting. It's not just the cultural references, but the old media technologies that we're seeing kind of nostalgically return to.